Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. When you study the Bible and you combine the book, and I mentioned this, is anything new in these lessons? When you look at the book of Jeremiah and also the book of Lamentation, because Jeremiah has written both of these books. Jeremiah is writing during the time of the kingship of Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old, the Bible says, when he began to reign. And he reigned many years. The Bible says that Josiah turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. His grandfather Manasseh and his father Amon had been very wicked people and men and leaders, and had led them, folks, completely into idolatry. Jeremiah comes back and he tries to bring them back. Now, one of the passages that we studied in Jeremiah chapter number 8, and if you'll remember, we pointed out that God said, I don't want you praying for these people. And then he makes a statement in the last few verses of Jeremiah chapter 8, and I think that kind of describes a part of what's going on. He said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We have emphasized the fact that God said to them, it is not your sacrifice that I will not accept your sacrifice. What I am looking for is the right kind of heart. Oh, they made the sacrifices. And they had an outward motion of acceptance of God and of doing the will of God. But He said, your heart is not right. And so we emphasized that in a previous lesson. Now, in Jeremiah chapter number 9, there are four things in Jeremiah chapter 9 that draws a picture of what Jeremiah is saying to these people. We are referring to Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God has warned them through Jeremiah, I'm going to destroy you and you're going to go into captivity. And so in Jeremiah chapter 9, the four things, number one is this. Look with me at Jeremiah 9 and verse number 1. Look at what he says. And I think this goes along because the book of Lamentation, you can see a picture of it here in verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. What you and I are seeing here is distress on the part of Jeremiah over the misery that they are going to experience because of their sin, and also how that Jeremiah detests the sin that brought them to that point. Jeremiah said, oh, that I could cry over what you have done. That he said that I could shed the tears. His language, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears over what you have done. He has looked at the nation of Israel. He has looked at Israel. He has looked at Judah. And he has looked at Jerusalem. And it is as our Lord said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen doth gather her chicks, and you would not. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, looked at those people and He had great compassion upon them. And you and I see Jeremiah in the same light in Jeremiah chapter number 9. He's saying, listen, this misery that I see. But he said the reason for that misery is because of your sin. Go down to verse number 3. Or verse number 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. That if I had, he said, I would like to find a place to get away. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there are times, and Jeremiah goes on later in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, I am so distraught over this thing, and these people will not repent. I would like to just quit prophesying. But he said, there is in my bones a fire. And he said right here, he said, I wish there was a place of wayfaring men that I could go and just get away from the sin that you have committed. Look at what he said. That I might leave my people, go from them, for they be all adulterers and assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like the bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Jeremiah said, I won't tell you what you're doing. You're committing adultery. Now, there are two areas in that adultery, and I'm just going to mention in passing. Number one, of course, is physical adultery. There's no question when you study the Bible that physical adultery violates the law of God. It's just not even a question. That adulterers cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You look in the book of Colossians chapter number 3. And the Bible refers to adulterers and fornicators. In Mark chapter number 7. In Romans chapter number 1. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3. When you look at all of the teaching on adultery. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a nation today that adultery and fornication are rampant. I was doing shopping, buying a gift for Janet, and they made a comment about the gift that I was getting for her. And I said, yeah, I've been married 49 years. They gasped. The very idea that someone has been married 49, and I'm going to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, hey, that's a feat. Because our world and our society, it's almost like, well, I've got to go steady with a couple of women or a couple of men. We'll live together, we'll get married, and then we'll get a divorce, and then I'll find one I'll live with for many, many years. I mean, it's the attitude of adultery, the attitude of fornication, the attitude of just, well, we'll just live together. And so when Jeremiah talks about their adultery, yes, that occurred. But I believe what Jeremiah really more specifically is saying, and that is the adultery. In other words, James 4 describes it like this. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And that is that they had committed adultery with idolatry. They had other gods. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You love one, hate the other. And so what they had done, they had committed idolatry, and in so doing, had committed spiritual adultery. And Jeremiah said, I'd like to just get out of here and get away from the adultery and the lying and the lack of valiant strength that you have and get away from it. So in the first 11 verses, I'm going to read all 11 verses, Jeremiah chapter 9. But in these first 11 verses, Jeremiah is talking about the misery that Judah and Jerusalem will have as a result of their sin, and how that he detests the sin that they had involved themselves in. Why do we preach all this? Because we look at our country. You and I see, it's just so amazing. Every year, we hear a little bit more every year. Folks, if I were to accumulate all of the media reports and all of the news reports of companies, of individuals, of the fight against Christ and against God in the United States of America today, I'm telling you, and if I'd have brought up here, it'd be a stack this high. Because our nation is running headlong into atheism and into agnosticism, and they're right. It's just like we don't want God anywhere near us. And Jeremiah say, that's what's happened. You love adultery, you love idolatry, and as a result of that, there is a payday coming. Paul said in Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This, ladies and gentlemen, you as a Christian, those of us who are children of God, I have nothing to base any of this on other than my own thinking. you and I perhaps will not see the final result of what's going on. But your children and your grandchildren, from my observation, will see that. We'll see the consequences. We'll see the pain and the suffering that comes from those who refuse to do the will of God. So number one, Jeremiah says, look, I lament, I weep over what I've seen. Now skip with me down to verse number 12. Second thing in this chapter, and that is Jeremiah is justifying God's destruction of Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, God has a right to destroy you. Let's read. Let me read verse 12. He asked the question, and this to me goes on a little bit more with a verse later on, the last couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter number 9. About wisdom and judgment, but we're not dealing with that here. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through? And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them, till I have consumed them. I'm going to feed them with wormwood. When you and I look at this passage of Scripture, he said there's going to be folks that will overtake them. They don't know them, and they don't know God. Go back to Vietnam. When you consider the prisoners, was referred to in Hanoi Hilton. When you consider the pain and the suffering. Now you think about this, folks. You think about this. When you think about men who, number one, have no mercy. When you think about men who do not recognize the God of heaven, who have no love for what is right or good, and who do not care, no mercy. They don't care. God says to Jerusalem and Judah, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. In all of this, He is encouraging these folks to repent, to change their life, to do what's right. I'm telling you, here is what is going to happen, and Jeremiah is justifying God in the destruction that they are going to experience. There are folks that are going to overtake you. Look at this verse 16 again. I will scatter them also among the heathen. Neither they nor their fathers have known. I will send a sword after them until I have consumed. Let's go to the third point. Jeremiah is justifying God's destruction of these folks. Now then, go with me to verse number 17. In verses 17 down through verse number 22, Jeremiah is saying that others outside of Judah and Jerusalem should bewail what is going on within them. Now, I want you to think about this. It's kind of an interesting point. And without reading every one of these verses, we'll start with verse 17. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider you and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste, and take up wailing for us. What he's referring to there is the fact that they would oftentimes, they would hire people to come and cry at funerals. They would hire folks to come and mourn for them when they're had. And so he's saying now, you know, what we need to do is get all these people up, and they need to mourn for you. And verse 19, for a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How we are spoiled, we are greatly confounded because we've forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Here's his point. Let me tell you what his point is. His point is, if God, now watch this, if God deals with His backsliding people, And if you want to do an interesting study, go through the book of Jeremiah and count the number of times the word backsliding or backslid, the number of times that's used. Jeremiah is saying, let me tell you something. If God is dealing in such a treacherous way with His backsliding people, how do you think He's going to deal with those who have no regard for God at all? It's kind of an interesting point to me. When you consider the fact that God looks at us and God says, listen, if a nation, I'm not down on our country. We got a great country, folks. I think there's time to change it. But unless we change, you can take this whatever it's worth, which won't be much, I would imagine. But unless this nation ceases its direction, its abortion. Number one, unless this nation ceases abortion, and unless this nation ceases the acceptance of homosexuality, and it does not appear today that that is ever in the making, unless it does, God will shut it down. God will shut it down. If God does not shut it down, He owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you go back and you read the Bible, and you read, you see, this Richard Dawkins and Eric Elsman, these men, they're one of them's a humanist and one of them's an atheist. And they say, listen, God, there's this God, and look at the destruction that God did to all these people in the Old Testament times, and you look at that destruction, there can't be a God. You could not serve a God that does that. See, what they don't count on is this, that those people were wicked people. God goes in with the children of Israel and literally destroys the Amalekites. Can you imagine standing with old King Agag and they ram a sword through the guy? You say, man, that's terrible. They were men who did not regard God. God didn't owe them a thing in the world. And He took their land and gave it to His people, not because God was mean, because God loved His people. And He hated those who rebelled against Him. These nations, they rebelled against God. Jeremiah is saying right here, I want to show you this. If God will deal with His people this way, what do you think He's going to do? And it's kind of like the passage, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? And when you look at verse number 23 down through verse number 24, He says the folly of trusting in your own strength. Look at what He says. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He says, look, if you want to glory in something, you glory in me, not in your strength. And I think when you and I look at that, the folly of trusting, folks, our lesson this morning, and that is simply this, that we must put our full trust in the God of heaven. We must put our full trust in the God of heaven. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah lamenting the fact that they have sinned and will be destroyed, and that God justly would do that. You and I must recognize that we must submit our will to the will of God. God is going to punish the wicked and He's going to reward the righteous.